I please God to bless us together this morning as we meditate in his word. Let's turn to the book of the prophet Isaiah, the first chapter, and we'll read verses 16 to 20. The book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 1, and reading from verse 16 to 20. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow, come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow, and though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land, but if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with a sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. These are really very wonderful words to us today. They're really wonderful words to the whole household of faith, to the whole Church of God. And it's very clear in the time when Isaiah lived, and he lived a long life. We're told that he lived in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. And the Lord came to him and told him what to say, what to speak to the people. And it's very clear from the words that we read in this first chapter that at this time, Judah in particular, were not walking really in accordance with the commands and the way that the Lord had ordained for them. They were walking contrary. And yet, you see, in much of their way, they were mocking God, because they were just carrying out the ceremonies. They were carrying out those things which the Moses had instituted under the influence of the Spirit of God. And Isaiah has to tell them, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of burnt offerings, of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this at your hand, to tread my courts? And so he goes on up to this 16th verse with a list, really, of the things that the people were doing, really in a mock way. They were really hypocritical. Their heart wasn't really going with the commands of God. They were just doing things out of tradition, serving their conscience. There's no true reality in it. Of course, that's so sad today, really. As much as happens in the Church of God, there's a lot of just mere tradition, a lot of just following and a way which they've been used to doing, but there's really not any true reality. There's not real concern for, one, the forgiveness of all their sins; two, the wonderful direction and leading to the Saviour; and thirdly, to walk in accordance with his ways, not their ways. How often people today are not walking in accordance with the Word of God. They're walking in their own path, in their own way. They're walking in that way which doesn't cost them very much. It's really quite convenient. It's really quite easy. Now, the reality is that such have not really appreciated that they are sinners before a holy God when the Spirit of God touches their hearts. It's not just a mere acknowledgement of that they're sinners, but it's the revelation that God produces to direct them to see that before a holy God, that all their righteousnesses are as filthy rags. They're not good people. They're bad people. and they don't get better, and they get worse. And sin then becomes a very great problem to them. The hymn writer says, sinners can say, and none but they, how precious is the Saviour. You see, Jesus Christ will not really mean anything in a saving way until a person recognises how they stand before a holy God. And that means they've disobeyed the word of God. They've disobeyed the commands of God. They followed their own inclinations. They've done those things which are not good. And as the prophet starts when he says, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, and they are gone away backward. Well, that's a very sad situation. And therefore we should be thankful that we have such verses that we've read together this morning. And so Isaiah comes to this, and he says, wash you, make you clean. Now, it's a good thing if we know and realise we need to be washed. We need to be made clean. And there's only one washing that will do us any real good. And that, of course, is to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Now, when we come there, that's when the Lord Jesus becomes a precious reality. Because we know there's none but Jesus can help. None but Jesus can come to us and suit us. None but Jesus who really understands where we are. And so he tells us, wash you, make you clean. And then he says, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. We need to remember, and especially you young people, you children, to realize that God's eyes are in every place. You and I can never hide from God. Wherever we are, whatever situation, we can hide from one another. We cannot hide from God. His eyes are upon us at every moment of our life. And so he says, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. And then he says, there's two statements here. Cease to do evil and learn to do well. And these should, of course, be taken together. It's not just a ceasing to do evil. It is a concern to learn to do well. And it's interesting that we have such a statement as that, that we have to learn. We're ignorant in and of ourselves. What a blessing it is when the Lord teaches us. Because when the Lord teaches, he doesn't make mistakes. You and I make mistakes sometimes in our learning. But what a blessing it is here that we have a statement like this. Cease to do evil and learn to do well. Now, it's very strange, but it's very true that our nature likes doing evil. We like the things which please our flesh. And they're not the things that please God. And so we have this word from Isaiah to cease from evil. Put away the evil and cease to do evil. These are the words of God, and we should recognize them as such. We should be very concerned in our lives that God gives us grace, he gives us his favour to do just that, to put away things which are wrong, things which are not in accordance with the word of God. You see, we have the Bible, and it's a wonderful book from Genesis to Revelation, and throughout the word of God, it's continual direction to us in the way that we should walk our life upon this earth. And so the prophet instructs us here when he says to put away the evil of our doings. You and I know in our lives what things perhaps are evil, and perhaps we haven't always realized they're evil. But I suppose we can define it like this. Do the things that we do turn us to Christ? Do they direct us to Christ? Or do they direct us away from Christ? And if they direct us away from Christ, they can't be good, can they? And if they're not good, they must be evil. And so it's necessary that the Word of God does speak to us very clearly about these things. Because our old nature, our sinful nature, it does and likes evil. The things which are wrong, the things which just please our flesh, the things which aren't pleasing to God. And how comprehensive is the Word of God to instruct us and to correct us and to direct us into that which is wrong. The prophet has gone through a list in this chapter that we've read together. I won't go through it again, but it's a very strong list. And so he says then, cease from doing evil, but it's not a vacuum. It's not then something we don't know where we are. We are then to be directed to learn to do well. And we have a great and glorious teacher, the Lord himself. He teaches. None teach like him. He teaches us. We do learn. We learn to do well. What a blessing it is to desire then to follow this way, to learn to do well in our lives, in our natural life and in our spiritual life. They are both very important and both very necessary, that God gives us grace to learn to do well. And the prophet gives us some examples here. Learning to do well, he says, we are to seek judgment. That means we are to seek the things which are just, the things which are right, in accordance with God's eyes, that which is righteous, and not that which is unrighteous, and we are to seek that. We are to study the Word of God and to seek that which is good and that which is right. It is to seek. It's not to sit at home and just idle our time away. We are to seek. And the Word of God tells us, the Saviour says, seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Gracious invitations, aren't they? And so he says here, learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Those who are oppressed. People are oppressed. And the devil wants them to be oppressed because the devil wants them to turn away from the things of God. He doesn't want them to bow down before God. He doesn't want them to worship the Lord God. So here is a gracious word here of instruction. Relieve the oppressed. As we come into contact with those who perhaps are oppressed, the word of God to us each is to try and relieve them. Relieve them. May not be easy. May not always know what to do. But here is a gracious word. Relieve the oppressed. And then judge the fatherless. Those who perhaps don't have a father. We are to come and to judge them and do that which is right on their behalf. And then plead for the widow. Widow who's no longer has a husband. No longer has the support of the husband. We are to take up their case and to plead for the widow. And if you just look at this list carefully, what you will realise is it's a list which is costly. As I often say, true religion is costly. And if our religion isn't costing us anything, well, we have to wonder what the value of it really is. Because true religion is costly. And here we have a list which is not doing those things which perhaps you and I want to do. But it's if we're learning to do well, this is the outcome. This is the word of God to us to instruct us. Learn to do well, and therefore to seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, and plead for the widow. And then we come to this wonderful 18th verse. It's probably one of the well-known verses in the Word of God. And the Lord says very directly, come now. doesn't say, now, just wait, just dawdle, just carry on. It is a command. It's a loving command to those who are perhaps walking contrary to God, to those who feel themselves to be great undone sinners, not knowing what to do, not knowing where to turn. The Word of God tells us here, come, come now. It's so relevant, isn't it? Naturally, the devil will say, well, you needn't come now, you can put it off a bit. No, the Bible says, the Word of God says, come now. And it's to come to God. And what are we told to do? And let us reason together. It's very humbling to think that Almighty God, the great ruler of the universe, is so wonderfully condescending that he comes to us, unworthy sinners, and says, let us reason together now. Not tomorrow, not in a week's time, now. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. You see, it isn't the words of a man. It's the Word of God. And you see, where the Word of the Lord is, there is power. Power belongeth unto God. And so may we hear this voice to us. Come now. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. And he speaks to us. And he says this, though your sins be as scarlet, however bad they are, however wretched they are. And he uses the symbol of scarlet because in the old days, it may be still today, I don't know, but when they dyed something in that red scarlet cover, they always dyed it twice to make sure it was really well impregnated. So if it's like that, if our sins are really well impregnated within us, and you know, it's not easy to give up sinful things. If you and I enjoy sinful things, it's not easy to give them up. But the Spirit of God can give us that grace to make us willing in the day of his power to give them up. Sometimes they're not things which are particularly obvious. Perhaps they're things that we think about which are not good. And so here we have such a statement, though your sins be as scarlet, that's not to stop us coming to God. That's not to stop us reasoning together. Isn't that amazing? The Lord comes to the very worst of sinners. The very worst of sinners. The gospel is for the very worst. None are too bad. You know, we read of in this chapter, Isaiah lived in the days of Hezekiah. Well, of course, after that, and I think Isaiah was still perhaps living in the days of Manasseh. And Manasseh was the most wicked king. But the Lord had mercy upon him. He was the most terrible king, did most evil things. But we're told in the end of Chronicles, we're told how the Lord caused him to pray to God for mercy. The Lord had compassion on him, and the Lord blessed Hezekiah. That's why we should be thankful we have such words in the Word of God. Doesn't matter how bad, how sinful, how vile we are, this gracious, glorious, wonderful invitation is, come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. And what's the outcome? Though your sins be as scarlet, though they shall be as white as snow. Well, I'm sure we understand what snow's like. We do see snow sometimes in our country. Some countries, they don't see it. We do see it. And when that fresh snow falls upon the ground, it is beautifully white. It's not grey, it's white, and it's definitely not black. And so this is the wonderful truth of the gospel. As we may come to God, and blessed reasoning, that means really praying to him, explaining to him all about us, See, God knows all about you and me. Other people don't. They can't. They don't know what goes on inside. But God knows all about us. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows everything. And therefore we can come to our kind and gracious God and we can reason with him. And we might have to come and say, Lord, I'm just too bad. No, you're not too bad. You're not too bad. The vilest sinner out of hell who comes to feel his need is welcome to the throne of grace, a Saviour's blood to plead. That's the blessing of the gospel, to plead the blood of Christ that cleanseth from all sin. And that's why we have this great and glorious, wonderful invitation. Come now and let us reason together. Whatever our condition, the invitation is spoken so clearly. We can understand it, can't we? I'm sure there's no one here this morning. We can't understand the simplicity of these words. And it is a gracious word of encouragement. Come now. Come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet. I may have told you an account which I heard an American minister giving years ago. And he told us of his testimony and how he was an exceedingly bad person. He was a drunkard and he was into drugs and everything else. And he said he committed every sin in the book. And he was in a terrible state. And he continued in that state. And then he got married and he bought a house in Michigan. And he went and the house was in a bad state and it needed a lot of work done to it. And he got into the house and he started repairing the cracks and a knock at the door. And the neighbour came and he said, I'm your neighbour. Oh, he said, pleased to see you, come in. And he said, well, can I help at all? And he said, yeah, you can help. And he said, come on up this ladder and do some work. And the man came and got up the ladder. And the man came down and he sat in the corner, got out his bottle of whiskey and started drinking. And the man on the ladder said, well, he said, it's good to see you. He said, I'm a preacher. And the man said, what? You're a preacher? You can get out of this house and don't come back in anymore. Anyway, he went out of the house, but every time this preacher saw this person, he said to him, will you come to church tonight with me? Every time he came, when it was a church night, he would see him and say, will you come to church? And he said, no, I'm not coming. And this went on for a while, and then he said to his wife, well, we're going to get out of this questioning. When it's the church service night, we're going to go down to the hamburger place and have a hamburger. So they used to go there every time. And then once he said, well, I think this chap must have forgotten now, so perhaps we'll go back. And he said, he went back and they met this man. And the man says, well, will you come to church? And this chap said, man, you never give up. He said, no, and I won't give up. So he went on for a bit, and then he carried on. He said, when you come to church? He said, all right, I come to church. But he said, I'm going to make some conditions. He said, I'm going to sit in the back seat, and I want nobody to ask me any questions, okay? And he said, okay. So he came, and he sat in the back seat. And the minister, the preacher, wasn't preaching that night. There was someone else who preached. And he preached from these words on the 18th verse in this first chapter. come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Well, after the service, the man came out and he approached this preacher and he said, hey, he said, you've been telling that man all about me. And he said, no, I haven't said a thing. Well, he said, he got hung up tonight. He got really hung up. He kept on saying, come now, and let us reason together. And the preacher said, well, it wasn't me. And anyway, it was the means of conversion to this man. And he went home and he told his wife, and he said, well, he said, we must pray. He got down on his knees and prayed. The Lord would forgive them and forgive him of all his sins. And the Lord came to him and spoke these words then powerfully into his heart. And he was blessed with wonderful forgiveness. And the account just goes on. I'll just say a little bit more of it. So next morning he gets up and he goes to work. He goes to work, and previously he'd stolen a number of dishes from the workplace. And he went to the gate to check in. He brought this pile of dishes and he gave them to the man. The man said, what's that? He said, well, I brought these back. He said, I stole them. He said, when God makes a man a Christian, he makes him honest. So I said, I brought them back. And then he went to his workbench and he said to the said to his friends on the workbench, he said, I'm a Christian. And the priest said, really, you're a Christian? He said, yes. And he told them how the Lord had come and blessed him. Another man on the workbench. And he said, oh, he said, I'm a Christian. And the shepherd said, you're a what? He said, well, I'm a Christian. He said, I don't understand that, he said. Because I was converted last night and I want to tell everybody. He said, and I've been working with you many years and you've never told me a thing about Christianity. So, that's a little account which is very telling, really. And I heard it from himself. Come now then, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be as white as snow. So nothing to take to stop the blessed forgiveness from Almighty God. And he goes on and says, though they be red like crimson, they shall be wool as wool. It gives us a double picture, really, of the blessed forgiveness of God. Because when God forgives, we are forgiven. God doesn't keep on raking up the sins and bringing them back, you see. He casts them behind his back. They're forgiven, they're forgotten. And why? The glorious gospel is the Lord Jesus Christ died to take away our sins. And my friends, the death of the Saviour was not in vain. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't shed his precious blood in vain. He died to atone for the sins of his people. What a blessing it is for us today to have that wonderful realization that we have such a great and glorious Saviour. You know, the Lord tells us in the further chapter, in the 43rd chapter in Isaiah, in the last few verses in the 43rd chapter, this is what we read. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. You see, when the Lord blots them out, they're forgotten. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Thy first father hath sinned, and thy teachers transgressed against me. Therefore I have profaned the princes of the sanctuary and have given Jacob to the curse and Israel to reproaches. But the glory is here, surely. Put me in remembrance. Come to the Lord. Confess our sins freely. Yes. He freely forgives. Yes, there's no price to pay. But he freely forgives. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it, to have such a God who forgives freely. The 55th of Isaiah, it's a well-known chapter. It starts off, ho, everyone that thirsteth. And if you and I are sinners before God, we'll thirst for forgiveness. It won't be something which is irrelevant. Because, and I'll tell you why, because no unforgiven sinner enters into heaven. That's very serious, isn't it? That's very important, isn't it? Don't just paddle on day by day, thinking, well, I hope it'll be all right in the end. The word is, come now, not tomorrow, not the next day. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money. We haven't got any currency to pay for forgiveness. We don't need any currency to pay for forgiveness. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Ye come buy wine and milk without money and without price. What a great and wonderful favour it is. What a wonderful blessing the gospel is. And so we have these encouraging words to us today. And he just goes on. Let me just run on for a few moments. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. Well, what a mercy when God gives you and me a willing spirit. A willing spirit to earnestly seek his face. A willing spirit to come like this and to come to the Lord and to reason with him, to pray to him, that he will take away all our sins. The Lord convicts, the Lord touches our heart, we're guilty before God, and we will need forgiveness, and we will need the mercy of God. And it won't be something which is irrelevant. It'll be very important to us. It is important. It's vitally important. And so, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. It's good news, isn't it? The Lord gives us that willing spirit, you see. We shall eat the good of the land. We shall walk before the Lord in the light of his countenance. We shall feed spiritually. The Lord will bless our souls. He'll lead us into all truth as it is in Jesus. He'll direct us to see what a glorious salvation we have. He'll direct us to see what a glorious inheritance there is before us when we leave this world to come and to be with Christ forever. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. This is the solemn, searching word of God. We should be very thankful that we have such words before us, but they're very true and they're very solemn, and they are God's word. Don't think it's irrelevant. Don't think it's not something which touches your heart. Don't think it's something you can forget about. Don't think it's something that is not necessary. It is very, very important. This great and glorious statement here that the prophet Isaiah speaks, and it's in the middle of this chapter more or less, and this chapter speaks about all the sins of Judah. And yet you see, there's this wonderful gospel verse right in the middle. And it's wonderful gospel verse for us today. Ah, the Lord does not change. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. There are so very many beautiful verses in the prophecy of Isaiah. It is sometimes referred to as the gospel of Isaiah. And really, it is the gospel of Isaiah. In the 41st chapter, in the first verse, he says, keep silence before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. Then let them come near. Then let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment. You see what a wonderful favor it is to be blessed with union to Christ together. Isn't it? It's really a consideration which is too big for us to grasp. That the Lord Jesus, the blessed Saviour, the second person in the Trinity, the creator of all things, condescends to come where we are, to speak to us, to encourage us, to direct us. What a wonderful, blessed God we have. in the 44th chapter of Isaiah. Again, we have similar words from verse 21, where we're told, 44th chapter, 21st verse, "Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee. Thou art my servant, O Israel. Thou shalt not be forgotten of me. Unworthy sinner. Not forgotten. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee." Isn't that wonderful news, eh? The Lord's redeemed us. And how are we redeemed? Redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. That's the price that was paid to take away our sins. It was the greatest price that could ever be paid. The Saviour gave his life. You can't give a greater thing than that, because once your life's taken, it's gone. The Lord Jesus Christ gave his life. Oh, what a wonderful blessing it is to have such a Saviour. And so let us recognise the wonderful truth. If you will be willing and obedient, well, may you and I be willing. The devil doesn't want you to be willing, believe you me. He'll try and make every excuse to not be willing to obey the word of God, to not be willing to hear these gracious words, "Come now and let us reason together." The devil will make up all sorts of reasons and all sorts of thoughts in your mind so this doesn't occur. But what a blessing it is if the Holy Spirit gives us that grace, that favour to come to him in all simplicity. It's not a complicated statement, is it? It's very simple. Very simple. And oh, that the Holy Spirit might direct us to come to him. "Come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." When the Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesians, and of course we're going through the Ephesians at the moment, but in the first chapter, he says this, "To the praise of the glory of his grace," the first chapter, sixth verse, "To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself." Well, you can go on, it's a long sentence. I won't read it all in the first chapter of Ephesians, a long sentence. But the wonderful words are, "in whom we have redemption through his blood." And we all need redemption. The forgiveness of sins. And we all need the forgiveness of sins. No exception. Don't think there's any other way. No, we all need the blessed favour and blessed forgiveness of our great and glorious Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the last book in the Bible, the Revelations, John the Apostle, he tells us in the 7th chapter, and towards the end, the 13th verse in the 7th chapter, he asks the question, or rather he hears what they say, "And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation." Notice that. Means what it says. Great tribulation. The Lord spoke of that in the 18th of John. It is through much tribulation that we shall inherit the kingdom. Be of good joy. I have overcome the world. And so this is really reiterated here. These are they which came out of great tribulation. and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Well, I hope we're thankful for the gospel. I hope we recognize the reality of it. I hope we are blessed with the humble hope that we come within these words, and that they may be a gracious and glorious invitation to us, even today, and to believe that what God has spoken all those years ago is as powerful today as it was then. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Amen.